Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Set for Life. My name is Jawanza, and I am really, really excited to be before you one more week. Again, as always, we have a fabulous show lined up. So happy that you could tune in. You will not regret it. Some shows are extremely special, and this show is a treat. I'm sure that you all are going to be very, very enlightened by the time this show is over. Again, the name of the show is called Set for Life. We are trying to prepare you to become set for life. That's everybody's dream. Everybody wants to be set for life. You know, everybody that I know wants to be set for life, just to be able to live the life that you've always dreamt about leading, to be able to go when you want to go, to travel how you want to travel, with no limitations being put on what you can do. That's being set for life. And there's a process to being set for life, though. There are times when you might have found yourself in positions where it feels like, oh, my God, at the rate that I'm going, I'll never be set for life. I just filed bankruptcy. How can you can't be talking to me, Jawanza. I just filed bankruptcy. I can't be set for life. Or I'm just in the middle of a divorce. I can't be set for life. There are a lot of situations that might have you thinking that you cannot be set for life. Well, you're absolutely incorrect. There's nothing that you can't do. If you are truly, truly desirable of obtaining something, you can have it. But it's going to depend on your mindset. It's going to depend on what you are willing to do to make your dreams and visions come true. And I am ready to get to my guest because we are going to be talking about just an aspect of real estate that a lot of people do not consider or, you know, just haven't thought about. We're going to be talking about bankruptcy as it relates to real estate. And we, of course, as you know, believe that real estate is one wealth-building way that you can obtain financial freedom and become set for life. But we're going to be talking about bankruptcy as it relates to real estate and how it affects home ownership. And my lovely wife, Akuya Sefnitere, is going to introduce our guest.
Hello, everybody. Our guest today is Roxanne Kerr. Ms. Kerr is the managing principal of R.A. Kerr Law, a boutique law firm in Washington, D.C. Before starting R.A. Kerr Law, Ms. Kerr was a senior associate at Holland & Knight LLP, one of the largest law firms in the United States.
Wow.
As a member of Holland & Knight's general litigation group, Ms. Kerr worked alongside partners and other associates representing a variety of clients. At R.A. Kerr Law, Ms. Kerr concentrates her practice on all facets of litigation from real estate and commercial disputes to personal law issues, including bankruptcy and criminal matters. Ms. Kerr has represented clients in the courtroom, administrative hearings, and or alternate dispute resolution in New York, Maryland, and Washington, D.C.
Wow, sounds like we got an expert on the line.
Yes, it is.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
Roxanne Kerr, welcome to Set for Life. It's truly an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Thanks. It's great to be here again with you.
Wow, so we're talking about bankruptcy and how it affects home ownership. A lot of people, those two words in a lot of people's minds might not even go together. Bankruptcy and home ownership, it just seemed like one would cancel out the other. But you can file bankruptcy and actually still own a home, and we're going to talk about the process of, you know, how to, you know, dealing with bankruptcy prior to home ownership, preparing for home ownership if you're in bankruptcy. But for a lot of people, they've heard the word bankruptcy over the years, but there's a legal term. I mean, it's truly a legal term, and people might need to have that term actually defined for them. If you don't mind, if you would, could you explain to our listeners, for those who don't know and just might be assuming, what is bankruptcy and what is its purpose?
Well, let's start by saying that, I mean, bankruptcy is not like, you know, you're reneging or you're not doing something that is within the bounds of the law. I mean, it's there by the government to assist people who sometimes get over their heads for their own reasons or for reasons outside of their control. Because sometimes people file bankruptcy, which really means that bankrupt is kind of like you're playing Monopoly. Bankrupt means you have no money. You know, you're done. You owe more than you actually can afford, or you owe more than you can actually pay for. And so the government actually has it so that people, speaking specifically about Chapter 7, like every 8 years, or you have to wait 8 years in between, things happen in your life, and so this is kind of giving you a fresh start. There's no more such as debtor's jail and all that kind of stuff in the United States of America, so you get the chance to do a fresh start. And it's not against the law. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, I keep saying Donald Trump filed bankruptcy, and, you know, he's still a rich man. And so it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just giving you the opportunity to start life afresh with no debts. And so I think to the extent that people need to take advantage of that, they should. I mean, it shouldn't be done lightly because it does come with ramifications. But after you've assessed those things, if you need to do it, it is something that should be definitely considered as a part of your going forward plan.
But it's definitely not a death sentence. Is that correct?
No, it absolutely is not. As a matter of fact, the reason why bankruptcy is there is to keep it from being a death sentence and to be a new, fresh start on life is actually what it is. And so even when people talk about death sentence, you know, we're always talking about credit, your credit rating, your credit rating. It's not the be-all, end-all of the world. I mean, even if you have to, and actually, Juwan, looking at the situation after people file bankruptcy, they have better opportunities sometimes than people who try to pay your debt and you're late and you're continuing to pay. Because very often, creditors see that you file bankruptcy. And within a year, 6 months of filing bankruptcy, you'll see you start getting credit cards. Where 6 months before filing bankruptcy, you could not get a credit card.
Right.
Because now they know you have money to pay for their credit card. So it's really interesting how things work after a bankruptcy. And I'm talking from seeing clients actually get credit cards and actually get a car loan after a bankruptcy. So it's definitely not a death sentence, and it shouldn't be looked at as such.
That's got to be something, even for you in your practice, to see people who might, upon entering into bankruptcy, having a particular mindset and, you know, just their worldview might be a little on the downside. But then as they emerge from bankruptcy on the other end, and now they have this, they've wiped the slate clean, they've done whatever it is that they need to do to, you know, reestablish themselves, and just to see that fresh new outlook on some of your clients, that's got to be a rewarding feeling. Because, you know, again, a lot of times people enter into it like, I mean, when I was coming up, when you thought of bankruptcy, you thought of somebody had just hit rock bottom.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was just
you are a total failure. You know, the fact that you failed in life, so now you need to file bankruptcy. And now it's really as I said, and especially in these times where you see so many people losing homes and so many people losing so much and losing their jobs and you can't find one, before they tell you that you should get, you know, have enough money in your till or under your mattress or wherever people save money for 3 months. Then it was 6 months. Now we're looking at almost a year worth of money that needs to be saved for you if you lose your job to be able to keep up with your payments, because that's how long it's taking to find a job that's comparable to the job you had before. And so more people are in dire straits and need that opportunity in order to just stay alive.
I want to give the number here in the studio for those of you out there that are listening, and you may have questions concerning bankruptcy and how that relates to home ownership. Please give us a call at 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. My special guest is Roxanne, attorney Roxanne Kerr of R.A. Kerr Law, with offices in Washington, D.C. and New York. And for those of you who out there who might not know what the different chapters are, you've heard of Chapter 7, Chapter 11, Chapter 13. Roxanne, could you please talk about the different chapters, what they are, and, you know, as a result of what they are, how they affect those who apply for those chapters?
Sure. And let's just be clear. Like, in my practice with bankruptcy, I specialize in only Chapter 7. So I don't do the other chapters, including Chapter 13. But I do know the differences between them. And so Chapter 7 is for, like, a regular person. It could be for a company or a corporation also who wants to pretty much discharge all of their debt and giving up their assets. That's the main thing, is that you're giving up, for instance, if you think you can't afford your house and your car anymore, or you rent, you leased furniture, or you bought furniture and the furniture is secured, securing the loan that you got from the furniture company. you figure you can't afford it anymore, you just don't have any money to pay any of this stuff, then Chapter 7 would be for you, where you're pretty much going to say, take your car back, take the house back, take whatever it is that you have, I just don't have money to pay. And so the court allow you to discharge your debts. That's what that means. And so at the end of the day, for all intents and purposes, you're giving everything back. Some stuff you won't have to give back because, you know, it might come under homestead, or it might be something that the court says you need your car to get to work or something like that. And
okay.
So in those instances, you can keep some things in Chapter 7, but for the most part, what you're saying to the court is, I can't afford to pay it, and so take it back. And so that's where you would see people allowing the company to come back and take their car. Because at the end of the day, that's what discharge is. Discharge means you're giving up, the court allows you to give up the debts, but then you have to also give up the assets. And you do get to keep personal properties and things of that nature in a Chapter 7. But the main difference with that is that you're saying, I'm discharged of all my debts, and you give up your assets, is the main difference between Chapter 7 and a Chapter 13. In a Chapter 13, that's called reorganization for individuals, for people. And where you make, you know, where you owe under $336,000 in unsecured debts or secured debts in, you know, under $1 million, then they allow you to reorganize, which is the court help you come up with like a payment plan, so to speak, over 3 to 5 years. And then you have to kind of pay back the debts, you know, in smaller increments than you would have to without filing bankruptcy. And so the main difference between Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 is Chapter 13 doesn't discharge your debts. It doesn't mean you don't pay them. It means
okay.
It gives you kind of like a longer period to kind of figure out how to pay the debts, and you come up with a plan with the court. Okay? And then you have other bankruptcy pieces like Chapter 9, that's for reorganization of cities and municipalities. Chapter 11 is for reorganization of corporations, and some individuals can use Chapter 11 also. And so those, again, are more reorganization. But the favorite of, I guess, the average person is Chapter 7, where you kind of walk away from your debts. And so those are the main differences between Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. And, again, that's a broad brush because Chapter 7 or bankruptcy in general varies from state to state in terms of what you can keep, what you can't keep, what is exempt, what's not exempt. And so whenever we're talking today, either I'm going to be talking about Washington, D.C., or I'm just giving very general terms, Juwanza.
Okay. Okay.
So, Roxanne, if a person is contemplating, you know, coming, for instance, to you to file Chapter 7, you basically see if they fit into a particular category as far as the income or the assets, and then you decide what's the best route for them to take. Is that how it works? What's the actual procedure now,
right,
that
well,
a person...
Well, when someone... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Okay, when someone comes in and says, I want to file bankruptcy, one of the first things that any seasoned attorney would do was try to figure out, definitely... is bankruptcy, period, what you need to do. And
okay.
I've had clients where it turns out that what they're looking for is just someone to help them modify their homes more so than giving up the house or walking away or something like that, because they want to, like, sometimes keep foreclosure from happening, where bankruptcy is not the only thing that can keep that from happening, right? So sometimes
mm-hmm.
you need to, like, take a moment to really gather what's the problem, you know, I can't pay my student loans. Okay, well, bankruptcy won't solve that because
okay.
student loans that are guaranteed by the government never go anywhere. If
okay.
it's I owe taxes to, you know, the federal government, that's not going anywhere. And so that's, Yvette, a part of the first process. Then to the extent that it is bankruptcy that we need to do, then are we looking at Chapter 7 or Chapter 11 or Chapter 13? And then you would walk through that process to determine how much money do you make is one of the absolute first questions. Because if you are, let's say, a single person and you make $80,000 in Washington, D.C., you don't qualify for bankruptcy unless your expenses for the month are just, like, exorbitant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if your expenses, you live with your mother and you pay no rent and you have no loans and, you know, things of that nature, if you make $80,000, you won't qualify for bankruptcy because
okay.
there is a minimum because bankruptcy to automatically kind of automatically qualify, you have to be a certain level of income. And so someone with very high income, you would not qualify unless you do what's called the means test. And it shows that you, even though you make a bunch of money, you cannot pay your bills because of whatever reason. Like maybe you had an operation and the operation is like $100,000 and you had no insurance and you have to pay $20,000 a month. You know, something like that. So at the end of the day, even if you don't qualify with your income, you can qualify if you can show that your expenses are way higher than the amount that you make or bring in every month. And so that would be that the initial part of the screening. Definitely to talk about the differences between the chapters, and then once we've determined that, okay, we want to do Chapter 7, then what does your income look like and, you know, do you even qualify? Chapter 13, you have to have income to kind of do Chapter 13 because it has to do with you have disposable income to pay your bills over the extended period of time.
So I can imagine for people that, you know, say, for instance, the creditors are just constantly calling them and, you know, they just don't know what to do, this definitely would be a good option for a person to consider or to think about, let me at least talk to an attorney like yourself and, you know, find out what my options are. You know, because a lot of times
I totally agree with that. And again, I keep saying, going back to where we are now, is that we're in a time now where so much has happened. So many people have lost jobs, and so many people are good people who are used to paying their bills. You know, like, I don't want to owe anyone. My word is my bond. But you find yourself in this situation. And so it definitely, instead of losing it all or, you know, being kicked out of your home or, you know, instead of being, because people really do get depressed by creditors calling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's a hard decision, once it's made and once you're discharged, this weight is lifted off of you that you probably won't even imagine could possibly be lifted at this time. And so I'm not advocating bankruptcy. I'm advocating the contemplation of bankruptcy. You know, the contemplation of, is this something that I should be doing? Is this going to save, you know, me from whatever the issues are that you have?
What would you say, Roxanne, are if there was a disadvantage to bankruptcy, what would you say if there was one? Because people need to know both sides of it, okay, the pros and the cons.
Right. I would think probably the greatest disadvantage to bankruptcy, I don't know which one comes first, but I'm going to use this one first, is that, let me say three of them. Number one is that there's a social stigma still, is that if you file bankruptcy, you couldn't make it, and so you're embarrassed by it, and so people think that is something that should be kept secret, and it is, it's a private matter, because any financial matter is private, and
true.
So the feeling of how will you feel once you've done that? Will you feel like a failure? And you shouldn't, because especially in these times where so many things are happening, it definitely is there for this reason. The other thing that I would say is a disadvantage is the fact that it does go on your credit report, and it is kind of like one of the most, in terms of points being deducted from your credit, it definitely does that. And
okay.
It stays there for a long time, right? So that's definitely a disadvantage. And also, it's a public, it's a public filing. Like, it's not secretive. Anyone can probably go to a bankruptcy court if they wanted to be in your business and, you know, type your name in and see whether or not you filed. But I mean,
mm-hmm.
who does that unless
right.
someone's really trying to just know more about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those, I think, would be definitely the disadvantages to filing bankruptcy. And, of course, another disadvantage could be that you probably will, you know, lose your home or lose your car or have to give those things up because you're making that decision. So let's not call it losing it.
Right, correct.
And so you're making the decision to let it go. And I've known people, many people who've done it, clients and family members who've done bankruptcy, who they've moved on and bought homes 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved on and, you know, have a car 2 months later, you know, even a better car. And so it's not the end of the world if bankruptcy happens or if you have to, you know, turn your car over. Okay.
Well, for people who might be contemplating bankruptcy, for those who are listening to the program and they want more information and they're listening to you and they're hearing you and they would like to talk further with you about it, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, you can definitely email me at rkerr@rakerlaw.com. That's rkerr@rakerlaw.com. Or you can call me. I mean, actually, you can go to the website. You can get all this information at www.rakerlaw.com. Or you can call me, my office number, 202-629-4137. And we can talk further about bankruptcy and the options and the different the pros and cons of it.
Well, what actually got you started, Roxanne? Because the field that you're in, you're actually helping a lot of people. It's a service, and you know, providing people with bankruptcy services, helping them to, you know, get back on their feet. That's a labor of love. I mean, that's because when people are coming to you, I'm sure they're not at their highest point. Many of them are probably at their lowest point, don't know which way to turn, don't know what to do, and have finally come to grips with the fact that, you know, that they're going to be filing bankruptcy. I mean, for you, that's got to, you know, be a, you know, you're seeing people at very emotional times. What actually got you started down this path?
And, you know, it's actually very true, Juwanza, because the first 10 minutes of every conversation I have with them is what I was just saying about the fact that the federal government put bankruptcy in place to help people, not death sentence, but to give you a new life. And it's really true, and that there's no shame in that game. You know, you're not doing anything illegal. It's nothing, you know, that should be holding your head down for. This is taking advantage of a government program that exists for people who need a fresh start, and that's exactly what it is. And so that is probably the first 10, 15 minutes of the conversation, you know, about the different people and different levels of society of people who file bankruptcy. So for me, when I was at Holland & Knight, I loved Holland & Knight and what I did there, but the one thing I didn't do was interact daily with just individual people. You know, neighborhood people, people who just need help, because we work with large corporations and, you know, people with a bunch of money. And so at the end of the day, I left and went and started R.A. Kerr Law for the purpose of interacting on a daily basis with, you know, just regular folks just like me. And so that's the labor of love, that, you know, I love what I do. And I love sitting down with people, even on the criminal aspect, because I do also, you know, the DUI or possession cases and things like that. And you see people every day who, you know, especially with the DUI stuff, where these are regular people who went to the same restaurant that I went, that I may have been to, who had a cocktail just like me, and who maybe had just, you know, two or three more than me, and they ended up in this situation. It doesn't make them any lesser of a person. It just means that they made a mistake. And so that regular person, that individual who could live next door to me, that individual who could be my family member, they need assistance. And that's the type of work that I wanted to do. And so that's the work that I'm doing now. And so when people come in, like I said, for bankruptcy or for DUI or other criminal matters, you recognize, and again, I specify, especially with DUIs, because it doesn't matter what kind of job you have or who you are, you know, that breathalyzer just doesn't lie. You know, I was in court the other day where a minister came in. He was celebrating becoming a minister. And he was pulled over. And so the point is, it can happen to anyone, and bankruptcy can happen to anyone, you know. And so you have people, like I mentioned, because it's so famous, Donald Trump, millionaire that everybody see him on TV, entrepreneur doing his thing, he filed for it.
Right.
So it's not for poor people, so to speak.
It seems like such an, even as we're having this discussion, it seems like an empowering act, even, you know, like you said, you're not really encouraging people to do it, but it is an option. It's a legal option. It's a way that people can actually get control of their life back, because I'm certain that before somebody comes to the point where they feel like, I need to file bankruptcy, stuff may have been out of control for a while. Their finances may have been out of control, creditors calling, you know, and just the fact of, okay, I'm going to do something about this, that is a very empowering decision to make. And so just even the thought of saying, you know what, I'm going to even consider filing bankruptcy, and then to the point of, I'm going to file bankruptcy, I'm going to take control of my life, you know, and do something now that's going to put me in a better position tomorrow. You know, absolutely. And because the time is going to go. It's like, for example, you might look at bankruptcy and think, oh, wow, that's 2 or 3 years that, you know, I won't be able to do this or that. Well, you're going to live, hopefully, and that time is going to fly. So when you, you know, looking ahead, it might seem like a while, but when you look back, it'll be like those 2 years or those 3 years, that went by just like that. And now you're in a better position. You have positioned yourself to now be in a position to do some things with your life. So it seems like it can be very empowering.
Right. The other thing is that by the time you're thinking bankruptcy, so many things have gone wrong that if you're thinking about your credit's already shot. You know what I mean? Because for someone to be thinking bankruptcy is because you're not paying your car note or you can't or you're barely doing that, you know? And so, you know, you're not able to continue maintaining the payments or something like that. So a lot of people, you're going to lose the car through repossession anyway, if you are to lose the car. Okay, and so very often, you know, some people want to keep the car. And so you can do that, and you probably can afford the car if you're not paying anything else.
Right.
You know, because you need to keep the car. You can keep the car in Chapter 7, you know, but at the end of the day, you can reaffirm your debt, which means to say, even though the court discharged this, I'm reaffirming it by continuing to pay you for this car. Mm-hmm. And so you keep paying for the car, and the car still is yours. Okay. The moment you stop paying it, they're going to come get it because the debt has been discharged and, you know, they are going to come for their car. But the point is, if you're no longer paying that American Express or that credit card, other credit card bill that you have, that $600 a month, if you no longer owe for the operation that you had or for the root canal that you had that all of a sudden becomes too much money or those parking tickets that you never paid, that all of that, those people are all calling you and you're trying to find a way out, that'll do it for you, you know. And so at the end of the day, those are the types of things that people need to hold on to, that it really can become an empowering movement, as you said. And the thing is, the hardest part is making the decision, but so many times I see people come in, it's like they're walking on air once you hear, the debt has been discharged.
I can imagine.
You know?
Then the phone calls stop.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And actually, the phone calls can stop as soon as you retain your attorney. Because when they call you, you can say, I'm filing bankruptcy. This is my lawyer's number. Please call her. So it's that can be immediate. Okay? Once the filing happens, your lawyer can say, this is the case number. Don't call my client anymore. And it only takes a couple of days or so for the court to send the official notice out, and there is a stay. So no one can take anything from you. No one can do anything. No one can call you anymore. If they were about to take your car, they can't do that. If you were about to, if your house was about to go through foreclosure, they have to stop if it hasn't gone too far in the foreclosure process. And so, sir, it can totally, you know, stop everything, freeze for a moment, and then let's figure out what's going on.
I want to just say to the people out there that are listening, it's very important that you get information from somebody who knows. Oftentimes, people get information from friends. They know somebody who knows somebody who has an uncle, who had a cousin, who told them that you could do this or you could do that. Well,
absolutely.
You have an attorney on the line right now, and if you have questions concerning bankruptcy and how it relates to home ownership, please give us a call, or not even how it relates to home ownership, I mean, or bankruptcy, just questions about bankruptcy, please give us a call in the studio right now at 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Roxanne, can you talk about that? Just the need for people to get expert advice, because sometimes people are running around here just listening to the wrong people and
absolutely
getting negative results as a result of that.
Absolutely. And so it is important. If your friend did it, don't figure it's going to go the same way for you necessarily, because everybody's situation is different. If your friend lost her house when she filed, doesn't mean you're going to lose yours when you file. You know, because so many different things come into play when it comes to homestead, when it comes to is this a marital property in terms of the house, it comes to your exemptions, you know, and so at the end of the day, it matters what state you're in. So don't assume because it went one way with someone that it'll go that way with you. And don't assume that just because someone else did their filing and didn't need a lawyer that you won't, or that you can do it by yourself. Because very often, sometimes it's the peace of mind that you're paying for more so than I couldn't do this myself. And so that becomes very important. And especially when you're trying to keep your house or keep your car or keep other things and assets that you have, it becomes more important to seek assistance.
Okay.
And so I just
want
to mention that as
well. And now that you have a person now has decided, okay, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to file bankruptcy. But now I know that it's very important for them to understand, okay, I have to not only I'm reestablishing myself, but I don't want to get back into the same type of situation that actually brought me to the point that I know, you know, that you had to file bankruptcy. So can you talk about that, Roxanne, now that you're in bankruptcy, now actually educating yourself, if you had an issue about managing your finances, you know, like you said, things happen, you know, but not necessarily the unexpected things that may happen, but you even have to plan for that. You have to have something. Sometimes you have to establish a savings. You have to, you know, plan for that rainy day because they will come. You know, we don't want to think that they will come, but they will come, and sometimes those rainy days, someone, you might get sick. Certain things may happen that might cause you to have to, you know, take that route. But once you have made that decision and you want to reestablish yourself, how do you advise your clients now? As far as now that you've made this decision, let's start off, and you know, you might have to totally redo your financial management plan or, you know, budgeting and things like that.
Well, two things that you mentioned in there. Number one is that to file bankruptcy, you have to do kind of like a pre and a post credit counseling, so to speak. And so
okay.
In doing that, you know, that helps you to kind of understand where you fell into the hole.
Okay.
It helps you kind of understand, like, okay, this is what my debts are. This is what I'm bringing in. This is where I'm over my head. And so I think that's helpful to people before they file, so they understand how they got there, and kind of after, so they can understand how to keep from it happening again.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, you have after you do bankruptcy, you want to look at your credit report to make sure that everything is accurately, you know, reflected in your credit report, because
okay.
Sometimes your creditors don't report the right things. And so you also have credit agencies or credit, you know, they help you correct your credit. And a lot of them are scams, but if you talk to the right people, they have, because I have a company that I've referred people to who they so far have been excellent.
Okay.
And so at the end of the day, you know, you have to find that company that's going to help you make sure your stuff is reflected correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing. But, you know, we also talk about, you know, can people start over? You absolutely can. There's no black and white rule that says after bankruptcy you can't buy a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fannie Mae, who's like the biggest mortgager because they buy so many of the mortgages from other lenders,
mm-hmm.
They say you have to wait 8 years. Like, they will not give you a loan if you or take your mortgage if you file bankruptcy within 8 years. However,
wow.
If there's extenuating circumstances, which so many people might have now, they might allow you to do it in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, because they do know that we're in a situation now where so many people lost jobs. The market, you know, is on a, well, hopefully now it's on an upturn, but so much has happened, or extenuating circumstances could mean you had, you know, a loss that was not your fault. You know, maybe you lost your job because the company went bust, you know, and so that can happen in 3 years or so, but even less than that if you're going with, like, a private lender who will allow you to do it because they see that you have a high income and your debt-to-income ratio is low. And so mm-hmm. It's possible. You know, it's not a death sentence, as we had mentioned before, Jawanza.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so there's no
and
federal
and
law
and
that
with,
says that people have to wait 5 years before they give you a loan.
And working with various lenders, I know that FHA, if it's a Chapter 13, you can actually still be in bankruptcy and they will approve it. But it's definitely certain things that they want to make sure that you've paid your bills on time, you did not default, you know, on your bankruptcy payments. And that's one of the things we also wanted to talk about, too, you know, the importance of really making sure that you pay your payments, or even when you're starting to reestablish credit, just like you mentioned, you know, the credit card offers may start coming in.
And what happens if you do miss a payment during the bankruptcy period? Does that automatically there might be somebody that says, well, what happens if I miss a payment? Do I get kicked off of bankruptcy?
Right.
What happens
well,
then?
Juwanza, as I said, that I don't even want to speak on Chapter 13 because I don't do Chapter 13, and I don't want to give any misinformation regarding payments and things of that nature.
Okay, what about Chapter 7? If somebody is in Chapter 7...
Well, Chapter 7, there are no payments. Remember,
okay,
Chapter
7 discharged.
You are discharged.
Okay.
Now, when you say payments, for instance, when you reaffirm your loan, right, you're reaffirming your loan with the company that you owe the debt to. So if it's your car and you want to reaffirm the debt that you owe to the car company, you continue to pay your loan. For instance, if it's Honda and Honda's note is $350 a month, even though the debt is discharged and you can walk away from it, if you stop paying it, they're going to come and take the car, right? So every month you pay your bill. And normally Honda would wait three months of missed payments before they say they're going to take your car, right? In a bankruptcy situation, they're not going to wait 3 months because now they know that if you don't pay me 1 month, I'm looking for my car right away.
Right.
Okay.
Because that debt has been discharged. So that's the difference between when you're in Chapter 7 and when you're not. Because we all know, like, even with your mortgage company, same thing. You know, they might decide if you don't pay your mortgage for 2 months, they just say you're in default, but they don't necessarily start foreclosure. And nowadays, they don't even start foreclosure for months, you know. But at the end of the day, when you're in, when you have done bankruptcy for Chapter 7, you definitely want to make sure you make your monthly payments for especially your car, which is like the big deal all the time, mostly the big deal. You want to make sure you make your payments on time because if you don't, they'll come get that car quicker than they would that if you didn't file bankruptcy.
And if you could talk about sacrifice, if you would, because during the process of filing bankruptcy and going through the, couple of years of bankruptcy, you know, there are going to be some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to tighten your spending. You know, you're going to have to make some sacrifices today so that you can live the life that you want to live tomorrow, and it's going to take some sacrifice. But knowing that it's going to take sacrifice, if you prepare your mind and have the correct attitude, again, that I'm doing something, you know, to correct some stuff so that I can live the life, you know, that I want to live. And just as with anything, how you perceive something, you know, will determine, you know, if it could be a situation that might not be the most pleasant situation. You can make it either more unpleasant by your mindset as you approach it, or you can make it even pleasurable, depending on how you're looking at it.
Well, speaking of sacrifice, I'm going to talk specifically from my experience. When I graduated from college, I had like $30,000 in debt because my father died when I was a rising junior in college. And I remember, like, I felt like I needed to help my mom put me through Spelman College. And she did an excellent job. Shout out to my mom who, on her own, allowed me to finish Spelman and stuff like that and just took care of me. However, there were, like, I had debt because I had to help pay for my education in terms of, like, loans or whatever. And then, you know, when I'm coming out of college, I don't know anything about credit cards. So I had all these credit card bills. You know, they give you all kinds of credit when you're in college. So I had, like, maybe $20,000, $30,000 in debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had, like, the worst credit when I was, like, 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could never get a credit card. I couldn't do anything in terms of get a credit card, buy a car, anything like that. And so I had to live my life 8 years in because, you know, it stays on your credit. And thank God for me that I always had, like, the sense of I want to pay people back. So I ended up paying everyone back, but the bad stuff stays on your credit, right? So I can't get a credit card, can't do anything. And so I had to learn how to live without a credit card. So that means if I wanted to take a trip, I had to save for it. If
right.
I wanted to go buy a new outfit, I had to make sure that when I got paid, I had the money for that.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, I think all through my 20s, I figured out how to live without credit.
Mm-hmm.
And
now that
I'm an adult and can get a credit card, even when I get it, I've learned how to do that. And so when you talk about bankruptcy and the fact that you might not be able to get a credit card later, it might be a good thing for you.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It might be good for you to learn how to live without that. And so there are definitely disadvantages not having any credit, but, I mean, there are things that you can do. You can get a secured credit card, you know, if you needed a card, because some people, you know, rental cars won't even look at you if you don't have a credit card. So get a secured card. You know, learn how to live that way, and so that you can start building your credit through getting the secured car and paying it on time. And if you know you're going to rent a car, put a little bit more in the secured card so that you can rent the car and have it there. But at the end of the day, there are just, yeah, you're getting a fresh start, but you're not going to get the start that you would if you had A1 credit. You have to build yourself back up. And that's the American way. Pull yourself back up through your bootstraps.
And
but
this
you have
is
the opportunity to pull yourself up.
And that's, you know, the opportunity that, like you said, even if you have to take this, if you have to go this way as far as filing bankruptcy to kind of reestablish yourself, start all over again, create a new mindset, because actually you're renewing your mind, you're reestablishing new habits.
You're reinventing yourself.
Reinventing yourself, and mm-hmm. you have to, you know, if you want to be successful and you want to be able to understand, how do I become successful in this world? How does this world system operate?
And just not just the world system, but how do the financial systems operate?
Yeah.
You know, how does real estate work? How does the law affect? How does bankruptcy work? I mean,
mm-hmm.
these are things that affect us, and we need to know how these different systems work, how these different institutions work. How does finance? How does high finance work? How does, you know, all these things work with? Everybody, again, wants to be set for life, but there are those who are set for life that know the things that we're discussing today. You know, they know certain loopholes that the average person might not know about. They might know about certain tactics to get ahead and what to do once you file bankruptcy that the average person, they don't have these discussions every day simply because even a discussion about bankruptcy, because it's always, the stigma has always been you've hit rock bottom, a lot of people don't even want to even discuss it as an option. You know, so now's the time to let people know, hey, look, it is an option, and if you want to be set for life, and just because you may have made some bad financial decisions in the past, some things you situations you might find yourself in that are of no fault of your own, but you might find yourself there now. And my guest, Roxanne Kerr, is a bankruptcy attorney and a real estate bankruptcy attorney, and she can help you to get back on your feet, to regain your self-esteem that you may have lost through having creditors calling you every day, and your financial self-esteem, your financial self-worth. You can get it back. It's not the end of the world. You know, time is going to go anyway. So since time is going to go anyway, again, looking forward, it always seems like it's a long time, but looking back, it seems like it was just yesterday. So just consider, you might want to consider filing bankruptcy. But if you want more information, you can contact my guest. And Roxanne, would you please give your information again?
Yes. The website is www.rakerlaw.com. That's rakerlaw.com. Or you can email me directly at rkerr@rakerlaw.com. That's rkerr@rakerlaw.com. Or you can call me directly in the office at 202-629-4137. And I'm here in Washington, D.C., and I do bankruptcy in D.C. as well as Maryland. And the other thing I want to mention, Juwanza, is, you know, when you're talking about home ownership specifically, anyone who's in a situation where they're kind of like not being able to pay their bills, you can't buy a house anyway, you know, because maybe your credit has been damaged because you've had late payments. Maybe your credit's damaged because someone repossessed your car. Maybe you even are looking at a foreclosure. And so
right.
The foreclosure doesn't help any better than the bankruptcy, because at the foreclosure, your house is gone and all the rest of the debts stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you really are someone who, even if you're not a homeowner and you're looking to own a home, having bad credit doesn't do it for you. And you cannot get a home, and you guys know better than me probably, with a high debt-to-income ratio. And
true.
So if you owe a lot of debt, you're not going to get that house you want anyway. And so why not start by, you know, getting rid of that debt and then starting the process of using that extra money that you were trying to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul with, and go ahead and start saving that towards your down payment. because if you don't have a down payment, there's no zero down anymore. And anybody who's offering that, you need to run away from them. You know,
okay.
And so at the end of the day, you really, I mean, there are some people, maybe some reputable people that you can get zero down from, but that's, you know, that's a thing of the past for the most part. And so bankruptcy can be your way to getting to that home that you want.
Yeah, and or it's unless it's a special circumstances that might apply to that type of situation. But we had a lender on, Lee Jean-Pierre of CNF Mortgage, and he had a client that he mentioned that had filed bankruptcy, and he thought the person thought that, you know, I will never be able to buy a home again or anything or get a loan. And the lender mentioned that what this man did was all his disposable income, you know, now that he had this extra income because all of his bills were paid, he just was saving his money. He decided, well, I'm just going to try. And he checked with him, and he found out that he could he was in a position that he actually could purchase, and he had saved all this money, so he had this nice down payment, yeah, this chunk of money set aside. And that's a part of the reason why, you know, we want to also dispel the myth that you can own a home again. You know, you can reestablish yourself and start all over again.
Absolutely, because, again, if you look at it, you know, people are paying sometimes $10,000 a month on other credit cards, other bills. And if you have no bills, all that money really could be going into your till to save for your home. And I just want to clarify again that anything that I say that can't happen or won't happen or whatever, every situation is different, which is what I'm saying. And so for the most part, 0% is gone, but there are instances where some people can still get that. I just want to clarify that. But bankruptcy is not the end of the world in terms of if you want to buy a home, and definitely not the end of the world if you want to buy a car. And I think that those are the things that people are hesitant about because they believe that, you know, they can't do those things afterwards. And then, of course, that their credit is going to be shot. But the thing is that if you're barely holding on, at some point it's going to get shot, your credit anyway, because of the fact that, you know, if you have a bunch of credit cards if you have a bunch of credit cards that you can't pay and they're, you know, at their maximum, your credit is being shot by that too.
Now, what about people in age? Somebody might be out there listening and saying, you know, I have mountains of debt, but, you know, I'm already, you know, old, you know, so, I mean, there's not much they can do to me anyway. So, you know, would bankruptcy be an option? I mean, can you be too old? I mean, for somebody might say they're too old, or they might say, well, I'm too young. I'm only in my 30s or I'm in my 20s. And, you know, is there ever any, when it comes to age, I can hear somebody saying that they're too old to file bankruptcy. That's a myth, correct?
It is a myth because I just helped a young lady who's about 26 file bankruptcy because she bought a car. She couldn't find a job coming out of college. She found a job, but then she lost it. And then she had a car. She owed about $19,000. And she didn't have a job. And she also had, like, some other bills that she owed. And she filed bankruptcy, and she said, because right now I don't even see my way out of this. And so she allowed them to take the car, and then she started fresh. And why not? You're young. You're about to rebuild. You're not really looking to buy a home because you live with your parents. And so you're thinking, and this was her thinking, that I'm young. I have, by the time I'm ready to buy a home, it's 8 years, you know, if she wanted to wait that long. And then she was at home. She said she would save when she'd get another job, and she'd try to get herself a car without, you know, taking out a loan. And that was her plan. And for the elderly, you know, who wants the phone that you talk to your grandchildren on or whatever that you can't answer it because creditors are calling you?
Right.
Who wants that? And if you are old, then what are you going to lose by getting rid of the debt that you can no longer pay?
You know, for somebody listening to this program, this could be the start of your success story. this could be the start of you actually, you know, turning the page and saying, you know what, out with the old, I'm ready for a new start, I'm ready to start this, you know, moving into the new year, you know, I'm ready to make a resolution to get it together, and it just might mean that you'll have to consider or even file, go beyond considering and actually filing the bankruptcy. Now, there, of course, are going to be times when you have a lot of options to choose from, and you might consider something for a long time, but nothing is going to take the place of action. At some point, you have to go into something before you can come out on the other side. So back to sacrifice, there may be some things that you might have to actually sacrifice today so that you can get back on your feet. And Roxanne Kerr, who is the principal, I want to say broker, attorney at R.A. Kerr Law, is here to assist you during that process. And if you have questions, you still have time in this show. The number here is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Roxanne Kerr will be more than happy to answer any questions that you have concerning bankruptcy, what it is, what it's not, you know, what... There are, again, people who might automatically think that they qualify for bankruptcy. Oh, I'll just file bankruptcy. It is important to get the facts. It is important to, when it comes to law and certain things, it's important to get the information from experts, not who you heard somebody say they knew somebody. Like Roxanne talked about, you have different state laws. What if somebody lives in a different state and they're advising you on some bankruptcy issue, trying to tell you what you can do and what you can't do? There are a lot of different things that go into just information, and when you're receiving it, make sure that you're getting it from the source. Roxanne, do you do lectures or, you know, do workshops or, you know, for people who are loving this information in addition to your practice? Because there might be somebody hearing you say, dang, I sure would like to have her come out and speak. Do you give workshops or lectures?
I do. I actually do workshops in the community to just give people information on bankruptcy or criminal law or, you know, landlord-tenant law or things of that nature. And so we probably will have one scheduled for the holiday season. And so I'll definitely let you know, Jawanza, when that's going to be.
Okay.
So you can get it out to your listeners.
Okay. Let's talk about just even, you mentioned criminal law, because there might be somebody out there that, I mean, what type of other services do you provide so that listeners who might say, well, I might not necessarily need any bankruptcy work on my behalf right now, but I could use a criminal lawyer. What other types of law do you practice?
Well, mostly, you know, traffic law or possession cases where someone might have been caught with drugs of some kind. So I try to limit it to that, just, you know, traffic cases such as DUI or operating without a permit, things of that nature, and possession cases. But mostly I'm in court doing litigation, which is, you know, just trial work. I'm a trial lawyer, and so that's what my love is. So whether it's representing people in bankruptcy or in the criminal hearings or in real estate matters, it could be a landlord-tenant matter, or anything pertaining to real estate. And so those are
okay.
The things that I love. Again, everything about my practice is about being around just regular, everyday people who have issues, legal issues. And
so if a landlord comes to you and says, I got a tenant and they won't move out, you can handle that?
I can handle that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, the number here in the studio again, 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. My special guest is attorney Roxanne Kerr, principal attorney at R.A. Kerr Law. And, I mean, I'm really enjoying this. I'm getting an education about bankruptcy, what it is, what it's not. And just even the conversation just lightens the whole tone, even when you talk about it. Because, again, people don't want to talk about bankruptcy because it's been so taboo. It's been such a hush-hush under the, bankruptcy is almost like molestation, you know what I'm saying? You don't talk about such things, you know what I mean? So, but just even having this discussion is even, you know, just putting it out there in the open and saying, hey, look, this is not something that you have to be afraid of. It's something that you need to know at your disposal as an option to help you you know, and it's completely legal, so you don't have to worry about the stigma. You're not a failure. You know, like you mentioned, Donald Trump filed bankruptcy, okay? So it doesn't necessarily reflect on you as a bad individual. We all make choices that we wish we could go back and undo and, you know, have another chance to make the same choices again. It's not a death sentence. There are people here to assist you. Look at it as an option. Get information, 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 and more information, and call Roxanne Kerr to see how, if this is an option that you're looking at, to see how she can help you to, you know, make this transition from the old into the new so that you can start your new life fresh. And Roxanne, any words that you might have for the listeners or anything that we might not have discussed in the hour that you'd like to get in before the hour winds down?
No, I think that the most important thing that I can even convey, again, you know, end how we started, which is it's an option that was put in by the federal government because they realized that people do, you know, after living your life and things happening, whether it's medical, your wife may have died, things happen, you know, you get a divorce, things happen that cause you to stumble. And
mm-hmm.
So, you know, they used to have debtor's jail, where they would throw people into jail for owing money. That is not the case in the United States of America. And so instead of debtor's jail, you get bankruptcy and the ability to start fresh when you can no longer make those payments. And it's there for businesses, it's there for individuals, and if people need to take advantage of it, they should. Because we pay taxes every single time we get paid, and this is a part of what the government, this is one of the benefits of living in the United States of America, that you're allowed that, and that you do get a do-over. And most things, as you mentioned, Juwanza, we wish we could take it back, but we can't.
Yep.
This is one of those things in life, I can't even think of anything else, that you do get a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
And so to the extent that we can take advantage of that, we should.
Now, once a person does file bankruptcy, let's say they go in and they sit down with an attorney, talk to them about filing bankruptcy, and they decide that that is what they want to do. They've made up their mind, that's what they want to do, they are certain. But then after a week or maybe even a couple of months, they think, well, you know what, maybe this bankruptcy thing was not the best idea for me. I don't want to do this anymore. Once you make that choice, are you committed? What happens, I mean, once you say you sign on the dotted line, I'm in bankruptcy now, can you change your mind and say I don't want to do it anymore?
I guess you can withdraw your petition
or
you cannot show up. Because once you file the petition, usually what happens next is that the other thing that happens is everything is happening in the court and you don't do anything. But then you and your attorney need to attend what's called the 341 meeting of creditors, and that's where you go and you sit with a trustee to find out whether or not, you know, the trustee asks questions about your assets and your debts and things of that nature to make sure that, you know, do you have any assets and do you have anything that we can take from you to give to these creditors. And if the creditors believe, like, you're lying or they think that they want to challenge your bankruptcy, they'll show up and ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't go to that meeting, then the court probably will, not probably, the court's going to dismiss your bankruptcy. And so then you enter in what's called, kind of like you're in limbo, because your creditors can't call you anymore. They can't really take your stuff. And it takes a while for everybody to catch up that this person didn't actually go through bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can change
your
mind.
Well, you know, that's got to be something, too, just even for the people. It can be, you know, the meeting of the creditors. It sounds like that could be intimidating to a lot of people. That, do you mean to tell me
right,
I have
to? Right, but 90% of the time, no creditor shows up because most people don't have any money and don't have any assets.
Okay.
So unless the creditor has some reason to believe that you're trying to defraud them, they're not going to show up. So it's just you and your attorney and the trustee ask you a couple of questions, and if the trustee thinks you're lying, they might ask you more questions, or they might say you to come back and bring more documents. But for the most part, they ask you, bring ID, is everything you told me is true, and then they ask you a couple of questions, and then that's it. So it's nothing to be intimidated about, but it is the case that creditors could come and say, no, this person is lying. You know, they told me they had $100,000, or in a situation that I know of, specifically, one young lady filed bankruptcy, was all ready to go, and one of the creditors showed up and said, no, she should not, I'm challenging the bankruptcy because she has $80,000 that's sitting in escrow. My client didn't know, you know, that she had money sitting in escrow somewhere. So then she, her bankruptcy was dismissed because you have money. And so, but then what happened was no one can collect until the court says that they can collect because there's a stay, and that stay must be lifted. And sometimes when cases, bankruptcy cases are dismissed, there's kind of like a limbo period where no one can contact you, but you're not in bankruptcy.
Okay. Wow, this has been a fast hour, and this is truly, I've gotten an education about bankruptcy today, and I know that a lot of the listeners out there didn't know half of the stuff that we talked about today, so thank God for the archives, because people who didn't were able to catch the show can actually go back and listen to archived shows, and I know they're going to be going back and listening to this over and over again. My special guest today, our special guest today has been Roxanne Kerr of R.A. Kerr Law in Washington, D.C. It has truly, truly been an honor talking to you, and I've learned a lot.
Yes, I have. A lot of information.
Oh, my God. So we're excited about just that, because we know we're going to have Roxanne back to discuss further issues as they pertain to real estate law. She's an expert, and for those of you who have more questions about bankruptcy, and you know, stay tuned to Set for Life, because we're going to have her back. We're going to be talking about different aspects of the real estate process, and you know what we can do to help you become set for life, because that's what this is all about. That's what this show is about, positioning ourselves to become set for life. If for whatever reason you may have gotten off the wealth track, for lack of a better term, and you want to get back on, there's a process. You can pray all day, you know what I mean? But there's still a process that still has to take place for you to get back in line, to get your energy lined up with the energy that govern wealth and receiving wealth. And we're just excited that Roxanne was our guest today. She was actually turned us on to a book, and I'll share that book with you all. For everybody out there who has never heard of a book called The Dream Giver, go get that book. It's very motivating. It's inspiring. Yeah. If you've ever wanted to be an entrepreneur, and you know, you've had dreams of just living the life that you want to live to your children and your grandchildren, get the book The Dream Giver. It was actually recommended to my wife and I by Roxanne Kerr. We love it. We continue to read it, and we thank you to this day. Thank you, Roxanne, because that actually liberated us and showed us a lot of people in our own life.
You know, Juwanza, it's funny. I just wrote down the name again. So I think I'm going to go reread that book again, because it was so inspiring to me. That and The Secret, I keep them both in my bedroom just to kind of sometimes just look back on chapters. So that's an excellent book for anyone.
Well, we thank you so much, Roxanne. Again, it's truly been a pleasure. For the listeners, please give your information one more time for those who might want to hear you come out and speak. They might have real estate questions, bankruptcy questions. How can they reach you?
Go to my website, www.rakerlaw.com. That's www.rakerlaw.com. Or you can call me here in the office if you have questions, 202-629-4137.
It's truly been a pleasure and an honor. For the listeners who have tuned in today, again, you've been listening to Roxanne Kerr. She's been a special guest on Set for Life. It's truly been an honor, Roxanne. We will be in touch, because we got to have you back.
Absolutely.
Just because we want to talk real estate and how we can get our listeners and positioning themselves to get set for life. And real estate is an awesome time to do it, and now is actually a great time to buy, with interest rates being at record lows. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So until the next time, Roxanne, thank you.
Thank you so much, Roxanne.
Thank you guys for having me.
Okay.
I look forward to the next time.
I do too. It was truly an honor. Great show, fabulous information, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Peace. For everybody listening, that was Roxanne Kerr of R.A. Kerr Law. Awesome, awesome show. What do you say, Beth?
Yes, it was, and that's the wonderful thing about the information that we can bring to you listeners with people like Roxanne Kerr and some of the other guests that we bring, because this information is empowering,
yep,
and it helps you to it takes away the unknown and the fear.
The fear, yeah.
You know, that it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not the only one that may be experiencing a hardship,
mm-hmm.
and that you might have to make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it may be people right in your family that may have went this route before. You don't even have to tell anybody, but you have people like Roxanne Kerr that you can call and you can get more information before you decide to make a decision like that. Because, like we talked about today, there are advantages and there are disadvantages, but in the long run, you have to make that decision what's best for you.
And remember that this is your life. This is your life. Take control of it. You don't have to be fearful. You can stop the creditors from calling. You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You can take the steps necessary to change your life because, you know, if you want to be set for life, again, you might find yourself, like, asking yourself, like, wow, I'm on the verge of filing bankruptcy. I can't be set for life. Yes, you can be set for life. You don't have to let anything stop you. You can actually use bankruptcy to reposition yourself to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So just wipe the slate clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like in school when you go up to the blackboard, you make a mistake. What do? You get the eraser, you wipe the slate clean, and you start all over again. Man, just sit and imagine what it's going to feel like when you have a brand new clean slate. No more creditors calling you. Oh, my God, can you imagine just stepping out your door, taking a deep breath and going, oh, my God, I'm free.
And it doesn't always mean that, like Roxanne mentioned, you know, you don't have to give up everything sometimes.
That's
so,
right.
You know, you may be able to stay in your home, you
mm-hmm.
know. You may be able to keep your car. So just take the step and make that phone call
That's
just
right.
to find out what your options are. Then you have enough information to make the right decision.
And be encouraged. Be encouraged. You can see up the street, but you can't see around the corner. I'm going to say that again. You can see up the street, but you have no idea what's coming your way, what blessings are coming your way. So stay positive. Stay motivated. Don't let, you know, the naysayers, the negative people, you know, affect you and dissuade you from doing what you might feel like you need to do that's in your best interest, okay? Be encouraged, stay motivated, stay positive, surround yourself with positive, motivating people, and by all means, think wealth, okay? Because that's what this show is about, becoming set for life. Stick with us. We'll get you there.
Amen.
Okay, until the next time, we want to tell you how much we love you. We appreciate love. The support, oh, my God, I'm looking at it. I go back and I see that the people are going back and listening to the archived shows. They love Professor Geiger, huh?
Yes, but we want you to call. The guests want you to call in and speak to them live, too.
Absolutely.
But we are happy that you're going back listening to the archives. But call in.
Yeah, absolutely. The number here is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727.
And remember, tomorrow is Jawanza for Life.
Yep.
from 6 to 7, and our guest will be...
Dick Gregory. That's right. You don't want to miss Dick Gregory. Y'all know Dick Gregory, so tune in tomorrow from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Jawanza for Life, and he's going to be a very, very powerful, powerful guest. He always is, always dropping a lot of knowledge.
Yes, he is.
You know, so you ready for him?
Yes, I am.
All right. And again, I got to say again, thank you to Roxanne Kerr because this was an excellent, excellent show. I love information, and I love it when people can that know their stuff and can articulate their message with clarity, and she did a great job today.
Yes, she did.
You know, so for those of you who are thinking about bankruptcy, again, give her a call, go back, listen to the archives, and if you're listening to the archives and you're loving what you're hearing, tell a friend.
Absolutely.
And until the next time, we love you. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you all for your support. Think wealth.
Peace.
Peace.